All right, Hebrews chapter number 11. Now we have been going through, for those of you who have not been with us, we are systematically going through the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the Hall of Faith as it's known. And we have spent several weeks already. We have several ahead of us. On Sunday mornings, we're learning about faith. Now, if you will, let me put a plug in for our Sunday school hour. If you weren't able to be here in Sunday school, I'm beginning to go through a series on grace, talking about God's grace. I'll say this, I believe that in our society, grace has been misused far too often, given as an excuse to do something that you know is already against God's will, but saying that you have grace to do it. Now you may say, well, I don't think it's against God's will, but if we search Scripture, we'll find that many of the things that we are willing to do run contrary to Scripture. And then we say, well, we have God's grace to do it. I will tell you that biblically, you're not seeing grace as God designed it. Amen. The very first thing that we're looking at is the fact that God's grace restrains us from living a life that we think that we should be afforded to live. So that's Sunday school, but I would love for you to be back next Sunday as well. We'll look here at Hebrews 11, and let's read verses 8 and 9. If you would, please follow along. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now, it goes on, the thought goes on, but we're going to look at other portions of that in later Sunday services. This morning, I want us to see the title of our message this morning is Faith for Submission. Faith for Submission. I want you to listen this morning. As I had mentioned in Sunday school, and I quickly mentioned a few moments ago, a great deal has happened in our country in the last week and a half. Since all the world was brought to light with what had happened in a church house here in Charleston, a great deal has happened since then, and I believe that we should be diligent about what the Scriptures say, that we should know what the Bible says. Now, my whole message isn't going to be about all that's happening this past week and a half, but however, it will touch on a few of those things and what our response should be. So I want you to listen this morning, because we have been given faith in the Bible. That's without question. But I believe that we can see that we should have faith for submission. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you and I thank you for the time that we have to be together. Lord, please, I ask you, just help us, dear God, as we look at the Bible. Lord, I pray that we would see as Abraham, Lord, as he demonstrated submission to you. Lord, I pray that we would be willing to do the same. Help us to take this step of faith, to be submitted to you. For we ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to look here in your Bibles. Hebrews 11, we're looking, of course, we begin in verse number 1. We think about, of course, as it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And as we read verse number 2, the elders obtained by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. I've always liked to stop there at the very first few words of verse number 3 and say that through faith we understand. It is by faith that we understand what God has done. It is by faith that we understand that yes, the worlds were framed by the very hand of God, by the very Word of God, by the very Son of God. And Hebrews leads us into the understanding here, chapter number 11, leads us into the understanding of faith is imperative in our lives. Now, here just a few weeks ago, we went through all of them. We just took a few moments on each of these. We talked about the safety that is given. We talked about the security that is given. We talked about the supply that is given. We began, of course, by the salvation that is given. We ended two Sundays ago by the service that we understand, Noah, and being willing to be used by God, and the service of God. And all of it is steps through by faith. We do these things by faith. We serve the Lord by faith. We are secure in the Lord by faith. We look to God by faith for our supply. We look to God by faith for salvation. Amen? Well, I hope you know that this morning. I beg you this morning, if you don't know about the salvation of Jesus Christ that hath appeared unto all men, oh, would you make certain of it today? I look across the auditorium. I believe that if I took a straw poll, the majority, if not all, would say, I know that I'm saved, but I don't ever want to be deceived. It might be that you're sitting there and you have pulled the wool over my eyes. Maybe you've pulled the wool over mom and dad's eyes. Maybe you've pulled the wool over a husband or wife's eyes. But you've not pulled the wool over God's eyes. You've not. You can pass for a lot in front of me, but you'll pass for nothing in front of God. He understands who is saved, who is not saved. He understands who is living by faith for their supply. He understands who is living by faith for their security. He understands who is living by faith for their service. How many are willing to truly serve the Lord by faith, and how many are not? But this morning we look at the idea of submission. We study faith for submission. We can see here, in fact, I'm going to have you hold your Bible there, put a bookmark in Hebrews 11, and turn all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12. With each of these so far, we have gone back to the book of Genesis. Not all of them will be in Genesis, obviously. As you read through the Hall of Faith, you see all of the different names that are given there. But in in Genesis 12, look at verse number 1. We'll read the first few verses. The Bible says, Now the Lord said unto Abram, this of course is before God had changed his name to Abraham. He is known as Abram. The Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So we see here that God is calling, as we look back over to Hebrews, where it says Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out not knowing whither he went. So we just read the account of when God looked down to Abram and he said, Abraham, as we know him and Abraham looked and answered, would have given the answer back, yes, Lord, speak for thy servant heareth. He says, I want you to go to a land other than where you are now. And I don't know, it could have been. Scripture doesn't highlight it for us, doesn't detail. It might have been that Abraham, just out of curiosity, might have said, all right, well, Lord, where is it that you want me to go? Am I going to like the area? Is it going to have a climate that is similar to what I've been raised in? Is there going to be much humidity? Lord, are there going to be bugs? Now, moving out here, I remember when my wife and I, when we moved from Colorado out to California back in 1990, we couldn't believe how many spiders there were. I mean, there were spiders everywhere. And we hadn't seen that. Obviously, I grew up with spiders. Well, I didn't grow up with them. You know what I mean, right? I grew up around them. But when we moved out there, spiders and ants, couldn't believe how many we found. And then when we moved out here from California, boy, the two things, the humidity and the bugs, the no-see-ems, I see them, I hear them, and I feel them. I wonder, did Abraham, but Lord, now am I going to like it? Is it going to be a beautiful place? Are you taking me to Hawaii, Lord? Are you taking me to Hawaii? Remember how I had said that when my wife and I, we thought, everyone had talked so wonderful about Charleston, we thought we were going to land in Hawaii. We got a rude awakening in North Charleston, all right? We found out it ain't Hawaii. I wonder, did Abraham, did he consider, did he ask any questions? But we do know this. He obeyed. He followed, not knowing whither he went. I've never taken a vacation like that. Now, right after we were married, my wife and I, we took a vacation. We call it our canyon vacation. We left from Denver, Colorado, and it was about, 2 weeks long. And we visited just about every canyon in the southwestern portion of Colorado and down, of course, into the Four Corners and into Arizona and Nevada. And we saw the Grand Canyon. We saw the Oak Canyon. We saw the Black Canyon. We saw the Gunnison Canyon. There were others I know that we looked and saw. But it was a vacation where we didn't have an exact destination, but we knew the general area that we were going to go. But I can't imagine just saying, "Hey, let's get in the car, let's move." Where? I don't know. I'm fearful to ask if anyone's done that because I'm worried that someone may say, "Yeah, we did that once." I'm not sure where we're going to go, but we're going to up and move. We're going to pack all of our belongings. We're going to take everything that we have. We're just going to go, and we don't really know where we're going to head to. Now, it was under the direction of God, but he obeyed. He obeyed. You go back over to Hebrews 11 again, and it says that he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. We can see from the study of Scripture that Abraham was submitted to God. He was submitted. What a great example of faith. To be submitted. You see, when we hear the word submission, as independent Baptists especially, oftentimes we think of submission, the authority that a husband has to the wife. We think of that submission. If I were to come this morning and said, "This morning I'm going to preach on submission," probably all of you would have thought, "Oh, he's going to talk about the husband-wife relationship and the submission." And that's biblical. It's the truth. In Ephesians 5, let me read you. He says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Oh, I know this is 2015. I know that this doesn't sit real well with modern society, but the Bible often doesn't fit real well with modern society. Amen? And today is no different than it was 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago. So wives are called to be in submission to their husband as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So we can understand this submission, but that's not what we're talking about this morning, even though you may have run to that conclusion. You think about submission. Maybe you're thinking about, oh. Now, I've already given you what we're going to talk about. But if I had just talked about submission and said, no, we're not talking about husband and wife, perhaps you'd have thought, oh, you're talking then about the submission of a church member to be subject to the authority of the pastor. Well, that's biblical as well. In Hebrews 13:17, it says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Now, we're not talking about either of those types of submission, even though they're both very biblical in their authority. Amen? They are. But what we first need to see, before we ever really discuss the submission of a wife to a husband, or we discuss the submission of a church body to the pastor, we've got to see the submission that we must have when it comes to us as a born-again believer to God. That submission, you could be, as a wife, you could be submitted to your husband in everything. You could follow the authority in the household that he has and not be right with God because you don't submit yourself to God's authority. But I'm doing right. You can say, "Pastor, I'm doing right. I listen to the preaching and I seek for wise counsel from my pastor and I submit to the authority concerning scriptural areas of my life. So I'm right with God," right? Not if you're not submitted to the Lord. Not if you're not submitted to God. I'm not asking for your submission to me if you're going to circumvent the submission that you must have first to God. In James chapter 4, verse number 7, it says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." You see, we like to talk about that last portion. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But I wonder how many are trying to live the second half of that verse, but yet they have not been willing to live the first half, where it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Well, I want to do my own thing, but I'm going to resist the devil in so doing. I'm not going to listen to Scripture. I'm going to live my own life. By God's grace, I can do what I want to, but I'm going to try to resist the devil. Well, God's word tells me that first, I must submit myself to God. Then I can resist the devil. But I want us to see, as we're talking about faith, and as I've said, the enemies that come in the face of faith, I want us to see that there are some enemies that will come right in the very face of faith for submission. If you're taking notes, write down number one, the enemy of bitterness. The enemy of bitterness. You say, well, how could bitterness stand in the way of my submission to God? Bitterness will affect every part of your life, and you won't even have any idea that it's happening. Bitterness will ruin relationships, and you will think it's the other person's responsibility, and it's their fault. Your bitterness that ruins your relationship, but yet you will cast the blame on others. Your bitterness will stop your submission. Well, we can talk about husband and wife submission at this point. By the way, the Scripture also teaches that they be submitted one to the other. We can see that bitterness will ruin that relationship. We can see that bitterness will ruin the relationship between a parent and a child. The submission that should be there. But bitterness will eat away at that submission. But you see, bitterness will also eat away at the submission that we should have toward God. We're talking here, of course, or the Bible is, about Abraham. We'll read down a little bit further in later weeks. It talks also about Sarah. But again, put the mark there in your Bible and go back to Genesis 16, if you would. Genesis 16. Now we read there in chapter number 12 about God calling Abraham out into an area that he was not familiar with, didn't know where he was supposed to go. And we're not going to recount the entirety of what has happened between these two chapters, but suffice it to say that that as they're on their journey, different things have happened. We get to a point here in chapter 15, God had just created a covenant between himself and man, and he did it through Abraham. And of course, we understand that covenant between God and man was broken down because man will never be able to uphold their side of the bargain when it comes to God. So that's why he did it through Jesus Christ. That's why the last covenant, the last testament, the new covenant came through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ became a man, because God will make a covenant with man, but he did it with the man, Jesus Christ, his very son, who will never fail him and will never drop the ball on that covenant. But we come to now chapter number 16. And we read here about Sarai. She will be renamed Sarah. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She was barren. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Now, understand, a lot of things happen in Scripture that God is not in favor of. And God still uses the individual who falls. If you'll let me say that. In light of this past week and the ruling of the Supreme Court, we begin hearing all kinds of chatter by those who would be of a dissenting vote from the Scripture. We begin hearing chatter. They're trying to tear down the biblical basis for the fundamental marriage, husband and wife. They're trying to tear it down. They're trying to use the Bible itself to tear at the very fabric of of marriage. And they begin touting individuals who had multiple wives in Scripture. And there were. Solomon, the wisest, that God gave wisdom beyond belief to, had multiple wives and concubines. Unfathomable to me that God would still use him. But it's just as unfathomable that God would use me or you. I say that because in light of the ruling that was just done, I stand adamantly opposed to it because the Bible stands opposed to it. All right? Amen? Amen. But we're begin reading here about a situation that God would never condone. But mankind, thinking that they can help God out, they'll come up with a solution. Well, Abram, I can't have children. Here's an idea. Oh, I should have thought of this earlier. What a good idea. Listen, I've got a handmaid over here, Hagar. She's an Egyptian lady. I tell you what, why don't I let you marry her and she can have children and I'll just adopt them and call them mine. I don't believe God was in favor of it. But God allowed it. Just like he allowed you to make the wrong decision that you made yesterday. Or today. He allows you to make wrong decisions. We have to live with the consequences of the decisions that are made. And by the way, can I tell you, we're reading about a passage of Scripture that we are still to this very day feeling the consequences of this one decision. Because of this one decision, we've had fighting in the Middle East for all of these thousands of years. We have had the children of Israel in direct battle to the children of Ishmael. We read about it. So we go on. The bright idea that Sarai had, Abraham should have put his foot down and said no. Adam should have put his foot down and said no. Right? See, Daddy, it all falls back on the head of the household. Oh, we like submission. Well, you better submit. I'm the head of the house. Well, then all the responsibility is coming back on your shoulders, Daddy. You will be held accountable to God for how you allowed your household to run. Not Mom. Not the children. Daddy. Abraham should have put his foot down. He didn't. In verse 3, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and Abram had dwelt, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Oh, so now there's problems between Hagar and Sarai, and Sarah. And Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon me? Oh, no. She knew. Hey, buddy, I messed up, but you're going to be held accountable for it. My wrong be upon the head of the household. My wrong be upon the husband, the house bander. We are to put a band, husbands, around our houses. We're held accountable. My sin be upon thee, she said. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she, that would be Hagar, fled from her, that would be Sarai's face. Sarai comes and boy, she had words with Hagar. I don't know what the words were, but she dealt hardly with her. She was not kind. You vile thing. You wicked individual. How could you? How dare you look at me with that contempt? Well, I'm the one that gave you to my husband, and you're supposed to be the mother of my child, but yet you're looking at me with those despising eyes. Get out. Get out of my house! And so she fled. It says there in verse number 6, the end of it, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. Now listen, listen. We're here for a reason, because we're talking about submission. We're reading an unbelievable account, historical account, of the founding of Ishmael's children. Those that have their hand, in fact, go to verse number 11. Genesis 16, 11 and 12. They're important verses in the Bible. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, that's going, of course, to be Hagar, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Verse 12, and he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And you wonder where Isis came from. Isis came from a child of God defying God. As a nation, we don't like Isis. I don't like what they're doing. Absolutely not. Without question. Despicable what they're doing to humanity. How did it start? It started by a child of God saying, yeah, I know what you want me to do, but I think I've got a better plan, Lord. I've got a good idea. I've got a good idea. Folks, I don't have good ideas. The Lord has all the ideas. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We go back up a couple verses from where we were. She had fled from the face of Sarai. The angel of the Lord found her. Now watch verse number 9. The angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. Wow. You want me to go back to that woman that railed against me, that despises me, and you expect me to submit to her authority? Folks, sometimes the only way that we can get to submission is by faith. Could you imagine the bitterness that would have been taking place right here? The bitterness of Hagar against Sarah. Sarah, this was your idea. This was your doing. Abraham, this was your doing. It wasn't my fault, but now I'm the one feeling the consequences of it. And God expects me now to come back and submit myself under her hand. God said in verse 10, the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it shall not be numbered, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And it goes on, of course, and gives the prophetic statement about Ishmael and about his descendants. The enemy of bitterness. Sarah was the last person that Hagar wanted to submit to. She had only done what Sarah had told her to do. Sarah had run her out of the house, and now Hagar was instructed by the angel of the Lord to submit to Sarah. Hagar, I'm sure, didn't want to. And I can only imagine the bitterness that there would have been on Hagar's part. But you see, her bitterness was a direct result of the lack of faith on Sarah's account. Sarah didn't trust God. So she took matters into her own hand, and we're feeling the repercussion of it to this very day. Sarah had not trusted God for a child. Now that sin had ruined the relationship, the Lord expected Hagar to submit to Sarah. And we can only imagine the bitterness. And in fact, the only way that we will be able to let go of bitterness is by faith. Go back over to Hebrews again. Look over chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at a couple of verses 15 and 16. Watch verse 15. Hebrews 12. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Oh, bitterness. The only way that we'll be able to let bitterness go is by faith. Was Sarah wrong? Yes. Was Abraham wrong? Yes. Was Hagar wrong? No. But yet she was the one that was run out of the house. She was the one that was chastised. She was the one that was bad-mouthed. She was the one that I can only imagine that all of the other women that Sarah would have talked to, she'd have been talking about Hagar and that lady, all she had done. And now she's expected to come back into that same household, into the other servants of the house, the other handmaids that might have been around, and submit to the authority of Sarah. I will only be able to let go of bitterness by faith, because bitterness is going to stand in the way of submission. You won't submit to God because of bitterness. It will always withhold your submission. It will always be an enemy of you submitting to God because you're bitter. You're bitter about what? I don't know. Maybe it's you're bitter about something that happened in a former church. Something that was done to you, and I'm sorry that it ever would have been. Something was done wrong. Someone said something wrong. Someone acted or behaved in a wrong way. You were treated in a poor way. I am sorry. It happens. I understand that. But listen, we will not serve God. We will not submit to God if we carry that bitterness every single day of our lives. Please listen, please understand, we're living in a time right now that as the born-again believers called to be separated from the world, we don't have the luxury of being upset because so-and-so didn't shake your hand last Sunday morning and didn't comment about that new tie or that new dress and didn't say, it's good to see you. They didn't greet you in the foyer. They didn't ask if you could they could do something. We don't have the luxury of being upset about that because we have a world that is out to kill us. We are against an enemy that wants to destroy every part of our fabric of a church, of a child of God, of a born-again believer. If I say that I believe in Jesus Christ and I believe the tenets of that Bible, I have an enemy. I don't have the luxury of being upset because you didn't say that you liked the way that I combed my hair. I don't have the luxury of being upset because you said some snide remark to me. You may have. I can be bigger than that. Because if I'm not bigger than that, I'll promise you, if I'm not bigger than a snide remark, I'm not bigger than the government to come in and tell me that I better stop preaching about homosexuality. Amen. If I'm not bigger than a snide remark, if I'm not bigger than a wrong look, then I'm not bigger than someone coming in and saying, you better accept this and you better accept it with glee, with happiness. You see, bitterness will stand in our way of submitting to God. You're always on losing. You're going to lose the game when you allow bitterness to stand in the way. The second thing we see, if you go back over to Hebrews 11 again, those two verses 8 and 9, we can see the enemy of trust. You cannot have faith without trust. Let me read to you some verses out of Psalms. Oh, one says, Psalm 20, verse 7, number 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. For sake of time, let me go to Isaiah 31. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Oh, we have an enemy of trust. I just don't trust God. I trust myself. I trust my own decisions. I trust in everything except the God that gave me salvation. We are commanded to trust in God, even when we don't want to. I'm commanded to trust in God, even when I don't want to. It will be a choice that will be made in faith. If I'm going to submit to God, I will do so in trust. A wife looks to her husband and says, I will submit to you. The Bible tells me to. I'll be blessed because of it. I have my concerns. You've made some decisions that have made me feel uneasy. But I'm going to place my submission unto you because I'm going to trust you. Men, let's not fail the trust that our wives are willing to give us. God doesn't fail my trust. God has never failed my trust. He's never failed your trust. But yet, so often we're still reluctant to put our trust in Him and submit to His authority. We're going through a troublesome time right now. Our churches, I think, are going to have to endure some difficulties. We will suffer reproach. The world will continue to push against us. Unbelievable things will continue to happen to us. But that doesn't mean that God has forgotten us. You see, here's the thing. Let me read to you a verse out of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 12, verse number 9, it says, He saith unto me, My grace, you're familiar with, I'm sure, the verse. My grace is sufficient for thee. Now we're talking about grace in Sunday school. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, we want the Lord to stop the pressure from the world. Dear Lord, please, would you stop the pressure? Lord, would you stop the government from making decisions that are going to be detrimental to our faith and to our church? And I want the Lord to stop. I do. I want Him to put His hand in the way and stop those decisions from coming down. But His strength is made perfect in weakness. See, we pray and we ask the Lord to stop the pressure from the world. But listen to me, please. His job is not to stop the abuse. But His job, rather, is to strengthen us against the abuse. He did not promise me that He will stop the abuse. But He has promised me that He will give me strength to endure the abuse. He will give me that strength to endure the abuse. I've preached before, we look at different passages of Scripture where Jesus healed the lame, the blind, the man by the gate called Beautiful, as Peter and John, I think it was. I could be wrong. I'm sorry. Acts chapter number 2, chapter number 3. Sorry. They're walking into the temple. Man, I've confused you all. Are you with me still? Come on, please say amen. All right, good. They're walking into the temple, right? And there's the lame man. And he says, alms for the poor. And he looks, he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he takes him by the hand. The man jumps up and he begins walking. We've talked about it before. We see the responsibility that now has fallen upon that man because he has been made whole, just like the responsibility is now upon you when you got saved, because now you have been made whole. But here's what we miss sometimes. Sometimes we don't see the fact that a man that had never walked a day in his life, that had been carried every place he goes, now has the ability to walk. Could you imagine the pain that must go through every single joint of his body? Every single fiber of every muscle that would give him strength to take another step. But we don't read about the pain. That means to me that either God, number one, removed the pain, or number two, gave him the strength to go through it. It's only one or the other. God either removed the pain, or God said, I'll give you strength to go through it. We come to a point in our society where they're making a ruling that homosexual marriages are now allowed in all 50 states. 5 individuals tell 300 million We don't care what you say. We're making the decision. Lord, give us strength. Give us strength to go through the abuse. I don't know what the abuse will be. I really don't. I don't know what ramifications are. They say, oh, this is not going to have anything to do with churches. This is for bakeries. This is for this or that and these different things. I have no idea. They're not going to keep their hands out of the churches. And it is worrisome for a generation to follow. Because so many are willing to ignore Scripture. I have no position to stand other than Scripture. I have no thought on the subject other than Scripture.
Amen.
If I don't have authority, if I don't have the Bible as my authority, then I become my own authority. And that's what we've seen the world do. Everyone has become their own authority. Well, here's what I think. Well, have you checked that against your authority? I am my authority. But I thought you said you were saved. I am. But you're not allowing the Word of God. The Word of God that you told me was the authority for your salvation. You're not allowing that same Bible to be the authority in this particular subject. Well, I think... Okay. Folks, I'm not angry at anyone. What I'm saying is we're not willing any longer to look at what God thinks. We're not willing to say, I will submit to His authority. Why? Because I don't trust Him. I don't trust that He has already told me what's right and what's wrong. I don't trust that book. That's what we're saying as a society. I trust that book. Please, sound man, do not cut that out, all right? Use that as a snippet and put it on CNN. I'll write you out of my will, and I don't have one yet. Oh, listen. The last is we see the enemy of disobedience. He chose to obey. But you see, the fact of obedience itself can be a huge obstacle in our lives. Am I willing to obey? Romans 6, verses 16, 17, and 18. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Where are we going to place our obedience? Because I have been called to submission. When Jesus asked His disciples to watch and pray with Him in the garden, He pointed out that even though the Spirit was willing, the flesh was weak. So I can't serve two masters. The two masters in this case are going to be the Word of God and my own desire. I can't serve them both. For either I will love the one and hate the other, or cling to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I cannot serve God and my own desires. You see, I know not what the world as unsaved individuals may do, but I know this. I may not know all the legislature that may come down the pike, but I do know this. It won't be God-honoring. But for the child of God to make a decision not to be God-honoring, you're saying, I'm no longer willing to be submissive to the God that saved me. You won't lose your salvation over it. I cannot preach that. It's not in the Bible. You'll not lose your salvation because you choose a different position other than opposite of what God has said. But you will not be God-honoring. To be God-honoring says, all right, Lord, you've given me the Bible. Titus chapter 2 says, Titus chapter number 1, verse number 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. He can't lie to me. He can't lie to me. Romans chapter number 3, I believe it is, maybe chapter 4, let God be true and every man a liar. See, the best I can hope to be is a liar. But I know I serve a God that will never be accused of lying or misleading or changing his mind or rewriting his Bible. He has already told me in Scripture, here's where I stand. Will you submit to God's authority? Will we submit to God's authority? Coastal Light Baptist Church, will you submit to God's authority? Oh, this message isn't about the ruling that came down this week by the Supreme Court. This message has nothing to do with the Confederate flag. This message has nothing to do with Obamacare. This message has to do with submitting to God. Are we willing to submit to God before we will submit to man? That's where we need to be. I will serve God. As the pastor of Coastal Light Baptist Church, I will serve God. Amen. If you want a few more details, get the Sunday school lesson that I preached this morning. I detailed a few things about your pastor and what I expect from our church body by way of doctrine. Will you serve the Lord? Will you be submitted to God? Will you be submitted to His authority? Rulings aren't going to go in favor of the Bible. They're not. But that does not change one jot nor tittle of Scripture. Amen. If we have been saved by God's grace, oh, let us live by the same grace. Yes. If we have been saved by being willing to submit ourselves to God's saving grace, then let's be willing to live our lives submitted to the very same grace that saved our soul from hell. Let's have a word of prayer to Heavenly Father. Lord, please, this morning I pray You'd just use a message. Lord, the simplicity of the message simply is faith. Lord, that we would have faith to be submitted to You. Help us, Lord, this morning to think about what we are doing. Help us to think about a nation. Lord, I do pray for our nation. I pray for our government. Lord, I pray for the elected officials. Lord, I pray that they would make decisions that would be founded in Scripture. But if not, Lord, I pray that we would never bow to anyone other than God. This morning, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. What about your submission this morning? What about your submission? You get upset at the ruling that was just given. And rightly so. You've been around the Bible for a while. You know what the Bible says. Good. In that area, that ruling, you're submitted to God's authority. But there are a lot more areas than that one. Sir, ma'am, how about your honesty? Did you know that lying is an abomination before God? How honest are you in your dealings with the public, with your family? How honest are you? Oh, we could go down the list. There are a lot of things that are important to God. We touched on one of them today, sure, but submission. How willing are you to be submitted to God, to His authority? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray this morning that You would just help us to see the authority that You have. Lord, I pray that we would give You that authority. I pray that we would no longer hold it upon ourselves, but Lord, we would relinquish the authority back to You, to the Bible. Help us to stand where the Bible stands. The piano will begin playing. I ask you to stand to your feet if you will. I'll not ask for a raise of hands, but I will ask you this morning, would you be willing to come to an old-fashioned altar and say, "Dear Lord, I submit to you. I submit to you." Perhaps this morning you're here and you need to be saved. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Oh, would you come this morning and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Would you let someone take a Bible and show you how you can be born again? Oh, but would you be willing to submit to the authority? It's going to take faith to do it. It will take faith. Do you have such faith? She'll play one more verse. If no one else comes, we'll close the service. Oh, would you come this morning?